Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Jamie Good, PhD in plant biology. How are you, Jamie?
Very good, yes.
Excellent. We've been talking a wee bit about lots of different parts of plant biology for the last couple of while, but something I want to get my head around is what happens to a plant as the temperatures change and the plant goes under stress, because I understand that when things are going well, it's pretty straightforward, but when things go bad, the plant actually responds differently and changes that can create all sorts of interesting effects.
Yes,
to the
absolutely
flavor of the wine.
Yeah. Well, you see, plants have to make these calculations. You know, they've got to decide that, there's a few factors that they've got to balance out and make a calculation about. And also, one of the problems with living on land is that evaporation, especially in a warm climate, the plant has to make sure it doesn't lose too much water.
Yeah.
So the plant has to get a sense of how much water is available and how much water it's losing, and then stop that loss of water if the loss of water is outweighing the benefit of having its stomata, which are the tiny pores that it allows gas exchange through, to close. So what's happening is a plant photosynthesizing, a plant needs to absorb carbon dioxide from the air.
Yeah.
And there isn't much carbon dioxide in the air. A bit more these days than there was. too much damn carbon dioxide in the air. No, but there's a very low concentration of carbon dioxide in the air.
Yeah.
Although it's, you know, there's problems with the greenhouse effect because those concentrations are rising. So the plant has these small gas exchange pores in its leaves called stomata.
Yeah.
And the plant has to be careful about when it opens these stomata, because while the stomata opens, it gets carbon dioxide, and so it can do its photosynthesis, but it's also losing water.
Yeah.
And so if the water loss reaches a certain level, the plant says, stuff this, I'm in danger of drying out, so yeah, I'll close my stomata and I'll end up stopping my photosynthesis.
Sure.
But that's, you know, this is a balancing act that the plant has to almost do this calculation. So with a vine, most grapevines are growing in warm climates. And so grapevines, if it gets too hot, the vine will just shut up shop and won't do any photosynthesis.
What does that mean, though? Like, if the grapes are ripening...
What grapes need to ripen is the sugar that comes from photosynthesis.
Yeah.
And if it gets hot, the vine will say,
is there
blow
a temperature?
Me down. About 35 degrees.
35,
gets much above 35, the vine says. And also wind is a factor as well. It's basically the loss through evaporation,
yeah,
in this transpiration process, which is the way.
Okay. Wind.
If that gets too high, yeah, the wind increases that, and then the vine will have to shut its stomata, and photosynthesis will stop. And there's this thing called blocage, that's the French term for it. So you get a hot climate like 2003.
Yeah.
And a lot of the 2003 wines, you'd expect them to be super ripe. And there is a lot of fruit sweetness in them, but the tannins are also quite hard on some of them. Because what happened is that the vines, you know, across the large swathes of Europe, found it just too hot.
Yep.
And they stopped photosynthesizing, and development was actually delayed. And so, paradoxically, in a very hot climate, you end up with poor ripeness in certain areas. You know, you get some bits of ripeness, but you don't get the other bits. Okay. So the grapes aren't very good.
I was talking to your mate Sam Harrop, when I was at the IWC, and he was talking about South African wines quite often having a sort of a greeny tinge to them.
Yeah.
And he was describing that as maybe it was getting too hot.
Yeah.
And so, but that seemed to imply that the fruit development, flavor development stopped, as well,
yeah,
as maybe what you're saying, the tannins stopped,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. I think it's, I don't know the exact, you know, precise technical details. I don't know if it's been researched about what happens to the different flavor components. But you can end up with unripeness.
Even in a very hot climate.
You can end up with an alcoholic wine that's quite sweetly fruited, but it has some aspects of unripeness to it as well.
So is the sugar being... But the sugar stops when photosynthesis stops.
Yeah, yeah.
So how does the sugar keep building up?
Well, the sugar will build up anyway, but you'll find that something goes out of kilter with these varying sort of like ripeness curves. If you think about the curves of ripeness, you want them to intersect the right place. And the different elements of ripeness in grapes all have different parameters controlling them, such that you could end up in a situation where you've got some aspects of ripeness are fine and other aspects are delayed.
Yeah. Okay, so the plant gets too hot.
Yeah.
It shuts down the
stomata,
and it stops or slows down photosynthesis significantly to deal with the situation. Does it just decide to wait until it gets warmer, cooler again, or does it do other respiratory processes? I've heard that it starts absorbing acids and things like that sometimes.
You can have this process of respiration, which is separate from photosynthesis, where it's the metabolism of the plant. It's doing its chemical business. You know, its chemical factories are working, and so you can have the plant doing process of respiration separate from the process of photosynthesis. And so you can imagine this, it all gets quite complex. We can draw all these metabolic pathways, but I just think that's a bit too geeky. But just what the wine grower has to understand is that, you know, the way that these various conditions can impact on the quality of the grapes. And I guess the other thing is to start thinking about management strategies. You know, if you are in a hot climate, to manage your vines in a particular way that you end up getting balanced grapes at the end of it.
What's the respiration process then, if it is different? Because I always associate photosynthesis and respiration almost as a similar type of process.
Well, photosynthesis is a process of taking carbon dioxide and inorganic ions and producing sugars through, you know, in the chloroplast, specialist organelles that have lots of chlorophyll. And there's all these complex metabolic pathways. Basically, light energy is captured, and then that light energy is used to produce sugars.
Okay, what's the respiration?
Respiration uses energy source, such as sugars, to then do some chemistry using inorganic ions and the various building blocks that photosynthesis gives you, which are organic compounds, to then produce the various components of the plant.
Okay, so respiration is not like us, is when we're breathing in and out oxygen and carbon dioxide. It's respiration is actually the process of building the plant.
Yeah, it's the chemical reactions that occur, you know, that independent of photosynthesis, using the photosynthates, then, you know, to do some work with.
I understand if a plant can't get hold of sugars, it uses other things.
Yeah, use other organic compounds. You know, you can break those down. With oxygen present, you know, respiration will use oxygen, and the organic compounds, and you can do chemistry then, basically.
What sort of component does it use instead of sugar? Because somewhere I heard about acids being used, or you see changes in acid levels when the plant stops.
Stored carbohydrates as well, you know, that's
the roots.
The roots and all the woody tissues will have carbohydrate stores in them.
Okay.
For instance, at the beginning of the season, you know, the first, you know, those stored carbohydrates are utilized then to produce, you know, the shoots, you know, bud burst, you know, so that the plant can store energy and use that energy, you know, independently of photosynthesis when it's not doing its photosynthesis.
If the plant's not photosynthesizing, what happens to things like, we talked about the flavors developing or not developing, we talked about tannins not ripening.
Yeah.
What about acids? What happens to acids when the plant's not photosynthesizing?
Well, I think the plant can break down acids. So lots of changes can take place without the photosynthesis occurring. I mean, I have to be honest, I don't know the exact chemical pathways that will occur in each situation, independent of photosynthesis or not, in hot climates as opposed to cooler climates. You know, there's a lot of complex chemistry going on in the vine that that personally I just don't have at my fingertips right now. So you put me on the spot.
What do you mean you don't have 50 pages of equations rattling off the top of your head?
So I just hope I'm not saying anything really stupid, but, you know, not consulting my sources now. So there you
okay.
go.
I suppose the key thing is, if the plant's not photosynthesizing, then it's too hot for it to photosynthesize, then everything's going to be out of whack.
Yeah.
Compared to a preferred...
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you want your vines to not experience those big peaks of heat, because it's going to cause problems.
Okay, then, Jamie, I'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.